Our destination is the akhirah, the hereafter. Whatever we are going to attain, achieve, will be attained in the akhirah, in the hereafter. Proper satisfaction, contentment, ease, living abode, wives, everything, rewards, foods, dishes, everything for us will be in the akhirah, in the hereafter, not in the dunya, not in this world. This dunya is a place of need, where there are needs. And the name of dunya, the definition of dunya, is to reach with ease to the hereafter, comfortably. Somebody here has been given 70 years by Allah, somebody 60 years, somebody's been given 50 years by Allah, somebody's been given 30 years time frame by Allah. Some people who don't have the understanding, who have not been able to understand, recognize Allah, they've gone through the actions of shirk. Some people who have recognized their Lord Allah, but they've forgotten their journey, their destination, they've forgotten Allah, and they have immersed themselves in this world, in this dunya, even despite having iman. And then there are those fortunate individuals who have iman, faith, and they continue to make effort. So this jama'ah, this group or congregation, is very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the reward, and alongside reward, Allah ta'ala has given them the capability to work hard and make effort. But, there's another factor beyond this that we need to consider. That where we are going to go to the hereafter after leaving this world, and we are going to go to the next life, also there Allah ta'ala has set aside darajat, levels, ranks. There are many ranks. One rank is many times beyond the rank below it. More than 100. So those darajat, those levels we need to attain, because that's a permanent abode and it's not temporary. So we need to attain the highest abode there, level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for insan, the human being, for those who have iman, who work hard, who make effort, Allah ta'ala has prepared so nicely for them that through that preparation and that destination they will attain, their darajat will continue to increase through those things Allah has prepared for us. So Allah ta'ala has given us ibadat, worship, and great action. So we shouldn't just be content. Oh, that's it. We've made it. No, rather we should have fikr, always worry that Jannah we've attained today, we should get more, greater than that tomorrow, Jannah. Allah ta'ala taught us this. Rasulullah taught us this dua, that Allah give me higher class Jannah. And another dua, Rasulullah said, oh Allah, Rasulullah stated that Allah, in the akhirah, do this dua, that Allah give me a place where I will abide by in the hereafter, near to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a dua. What is that Jannah? The high grade, high station in Jannah, where Rasulullah will be living. So to this extent, we've been given hukum, that we should ask. So if Allah has given us hukum to ask and request, then Allah Ta'ala has also given the preparations to the mu'mins. The first thing that we need to see is ibadat. Allah has given us means to get these things in the hereafter. Fard, you prayed, alhamdulillah. Now you want to get higher, then pray the sunnah on top of the fard. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. So when you've prayed the sunnah and you want to elevate your status, then pray the nawafil on top of the sunnah, rakats. What is all this? People say, oh, fard is enough, that's it. But what is this? This is balandi, elevation of the ranks of the hereafter. So now you know, you've got the knowledge, you've got the effort, the energy. So why don't we practice to get the highest level? One salah can elevate a person's level so much that he can then include other things along the way. He has health, he has time, because maybe tomorrow we won't have health. And faraid is just compulsory. You come, you join into the gathering. That's just because we're forced to do it. If we don't pray the faraid, then we'll get punishment. We have to come. There's no choice. There's no choice. We have to pray the fard. Apart from that though, Allah Ta'ala says, now you're free. It is my duty to bring you here, Allah Ta'ala says. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. It says that if I wasn't stern with you, strict with you, if my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, beloved Prophet was not to tell you that if you leave Salah, this is the punishment, would you have come here so far to the masjid? Nobody would have come. Nobody. Thousands of excuses, because we live in the dunya. Who would have come? But Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala knows that they'll go into Jahannam, they'll get punishments, and we know that as well, that we'll get punishments if we don't do right. So Allah Ta'ala says that I have delivered you here to this extent, say Subhanallah, that I have given you that stern warning. You've come to the masjid, enabled you to do wudu, you stood in the rows for salah. Those people who've arrived here, they just pray fard and they jump out of the back row, out of the masjid. Is this the case or not? They scarper after fard. Go to Saudi Arabia and you see this. Go to other places in the world. Soon as fard ends, the masjid empties, suddenly, immediately, everyone's disappeared. So one thing, why have we forgotten that this means that we don't have yaqeen for the akhirah, for the hereafter? If we had yaqeen for the akhirah, then don't we want the palaces in the hereafter? Don't we want to earn the rewards of the hereafter? Because we are very quickly going to end up there. Very quickly. So if we want those things, if we need those things, if we're in need of those things, then why don't we accept that there are actions that will give us, that they will give us elevation in the rank and the status and what we accrue for the hereafter? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So one thing we need to be really careful about, focus on, that ibadat, on top of worship, alongside worship, we're going to do such af'al, such actions that are there designed to elevate our level in the hereafter. Is it not the case? From morning until evening, we're going to try. We wake up for fajr, don't we? Isn't it? Because it's the stick that's waking us up. Yeah? The fard salah is the stick beating behind us. Oh, he's pious, he's praying fajr. What piety is the stick? We have to. Piety will realize that before fajr, if he's praying tahajjud, say Subhanallah. That's piety. Then we know that this person has yaqeen and certainty in the hereafter. He has yaqeen, certainty that I need a higher level, higher rank, higher status. I'm going to die. After dying, death can strike me anytime. Will I stay at the bottom pit? No. So thousands of dreams, you could say, or words of the pious predecessors who've seen with their eyes that this is a person sat down crying. He said, I wasted my time. I should have done this. I should have done that. If I had done this on that day, well, will it be useful for us to cry there and thereafter? No. Useless. Useless. Such ditches people are sitting. Even in Jannah, there are places, lower levels than others. Alhamdulillah, even if we get the ditch in Jannah, that's a great achievement. Sinful people like us, I'd say that Allah give us the ditch in Jannah, so at least we're safe from Jahannam. But when we go to Jannah, will we have this desire? I'll be like this, you'll be like this. We'll have desires within us. Wants, then there's regret. Regret in Jannah, that, oh Allah, you took me to the masjid to that extent. After that, why didn't I pray Nafl Salah? Why did I leave the Nafl Salah? Yes, because there was a lot of reward in the Nawafil. There was status, levels. And I just prayed fard and ran off out of the masjid. I didn't pray the rest of the salah. So I'm just giving you a hint. Now you can then go into automatic mode and construct your palaces. Because a hint is enough for the person of understanding. That should we run from the masjid or stay there in the masjid? Tell me. We run, we shoot out of the masjid. What's wrong, brother? It's too hot in the masjid. I have to leave. That's why I ran off. And what about the heat in Jahannam? What about the heat of Jahannam, the temperature there? Do we want that? We shoot out of the masjid. Dhikr is ending, and I see Allahu Akbar, that soon as the glass of water is being lifted, everyone's running off, not just the common man, our colleagues. What's happening outside? Suddenly, we don't even have the habit that as long as the sheikh is present, if he hasn't stood up, as long as the sheikh is in the majlis, nobody should stand. Yes, don't know what rahmah, mercy, because we haven't come here for akhirah, have we? Hereafter, do you know that as long as the teacher, the ustad, the sheikh is in the majlis, Allah's rahmah and mercy continues to descend on that majlis. So has dhikr ended? I'm not forcing anybody to stay behind. I'm not saying this because I am your teacher. So I have to explain the points to you. Because Allah will ask me tomorrow that didn't you teach them the adab? Why didn't you tell this poor soul these things? So many things we've lost out from. So many things. Masjid is not the end of it. Look at the tawajjuh that Allah Ta'ala might give to the sheikh. And if Allah Ta'ala has delivered you and seated you down in dhikr, so that will you leave the high ranks and run? You should continue to stay in the masjid. Those same rahmas and mercies will continue to descend upon you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What's the reward you'd get? Darajat, levels, ranks. What a wasted opportunity. Wasted opportunity. Have we wasted the opportunity? So who told us this? That the sheikh is present and we jump and run out of the masjid? And the sheikh's in the masjid. The teacher. In the khanqas, and the difference between the khanqa and the normal gatherings is a big difference. In the khanqa, every second it gives a person the opportunity to attain higher levels. So much. Before the sheikh arrives, the student should be there. The murid, the student should be present. And after the sheikh departs, that's when the student departs. So he comes with a niyyah to welcome his sheikh. Istiqbal, his darajat are being increased. And if we adopt this tariq of tasawwuf, my brothers, then learn the adab. Tomorrow if we go, and Allah, I had bayah, and I had a teacher, and a wali Allah. Allah said, yes, you met him, the teacher, everything was there. But you wasted that chance, Allah will say. You wasted the opportunity. You shut that book, you slammed it shut. Something that was so beneficial every second day in that gathering was beneficial. Allah says that majlis was my majlis. Isn't it stated that wherever Allah Ta'ala's dhikr takes place, Allah Ta'ala says that's my majlis. Dhikr. And as long as you stay seated, do du'as, your du'as will continue to be accepted. Until that time, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah continues to descend. When the majlis ends and the sheikh departs, then dhikr is concluding at that time. Dhikr is not just about saying kalamats loudly, reciting verses, Allahu Akbar. No. No, this is not the name of dhikr. Definition. Dhikr, definition is that in your heart, Allah Ta'ala's tasbih, Allah's praise. Tawajjuh ila Allah, focus on Allah. You're set and you're totally focused on Allah for the sake of Allah. This is dhikr. This is the Naqshbandi dhikr is this. We think, oh, that when we do the tasbihs and the verses and when the sheikh speaking and then when the rest of the time we're silent, that's it. Who's told you this? That's normal, common, that when you sit after salah and you wait for the next salah, you get thawab, don't you? Waiting for the next salah. That's a common point. Allah's given the hint here. So if a person's immersed and is sat in the majlis of dhikr and you sat in the gathering of a wali wala, then you'll get the same reward as if you're sat with a wali wala and doing dhikr. A proper sheikh. So how many darajat you will earn and attain, isn't it? Then we'll go in there after a cry, oh, a waste of time. Allah Ta'ala sends us to the gathering. Some individuals don't have the tawfiq to come in. They can't arrive here, sit in the majlis. They don't have the tawfiq, the ability. Many sisters online, so easy for them. The sister folk, the women folk, they don't sit. They know it's dhikr now, majlis about to start, we need to listen. They don't sit. They'll have to make the food, have to do this and that. If they're fikr of the akhirah, that we need to make jannah thereafter, they'll make a schedule at home. They will make food earlier on. We'll feed the children earlier on. I'll do this at that time. And then I'll free myself up during majlis and sit in the gathering of dhikr. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Only, just online at home. We're talking about home. But we will regret tomorrow, my brothers. So the point that I'm trying to communicate that came in my mind for myself, for my rectification, that I'm wasting so much time. I think that salah, just the fard, that's it. Where's the darajat? That you do dua, Allah, give me the nearness to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, give me his rafakat, give me his neighborhood. When will we get that? When our darajat will be high, when our levels will be high. And your levels will be high at that time, when you do those amal, that will conclude with your levels going high. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now you can experience for those people who leave nafil and run off, leave this salah and run off. Suddenly they depart after faraid and they're present and they should stay and the time for elevation of rank has started after fard. Okay, you've prayed salah. MashaAllah, that's good. The fard has been completed. You've saved yourself from the sin of leaving salah. The punishment is no doubt. No doubt. But there's a destination beyond this, isn't it? For us. Have we not got hopes? We have hope. Jannatul Firdaus and Jannah. We have so many emotions for paradise. Will we just get it automatically? Tell me. Will it come automatically? Salah will take you to the amal. The salah will take you to the level that it has a right upon the level. Further and beyond that, the nawafil will elevate you. Increase your status. So first point. That we should focus our attention and time and efforts to elevating our status and rank in thereafter. And we should daily in our lives do maximum to elevate our status. Do all those amal and deeds that will give us elevation status. Allah has given us means. So one is the means through the form of ibadah, worship. The other means Allah Ta'ala has given to us to elevate our status in the hereafter, to elevate our darajat. What does that mean? Is difficulties. Subhanallah. What is it that Allah Ta'ala has given to us? So one is amal, physical deeds to elevate your rank and status in the level in the hereafter. And secondly, Allah has given us difficulties, takalif. Difficulties, issues, problems, you become ill, sneezing, flu, body pain, stomach pain, or kidney pain, or heart pain, or you've had a bypass operation, pain in the eye. All of these things are different forms of illness. You understand what I'm saying? So what are these? These are difficulties, physical difficulties. So what does this mean now? What does this mean? Especially I'm speaking about those people who have iman, their faith, they believe in Allah, they follow the instructions of Allah, Allah's ahkams and orders. I'm speaking about those individuals. Why does Allah Ta'ala give them difficulty? Why? Why do they get issues? They get more difficulty than the common man. The reason for this, subhanallah. Look at the awliya Allah, how they pass time with difficulty. Difficulty, a person who's pious, upright, good, righteous, and he asks for Allah Ta'ala, he supplicates to Allah for high levels. When he gets a difficulty, he should immediately understand, this is not difficulty, rather Allah has given me this scenario to elevate my rank and status. Say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is the second point. One is ibadah, that's a means to elevating your status. And the second means, Allah has given us a resource for high level. If I die tomorrow, alhamdulillah, Allah will say, very good, well done, well done. We've seen when somebody is ill, isn't it? Look, Allah's karam, Allah's mercy. When somebody is ill, there's a hadith that in that state of the illness, now when you get ill, you could be sneezing, flu, cold. All of these illnesses, minor small sicknesses, they're all illnesses, stomach pain, you're ill. Yes? So Allah says that when my servant, the mu'min, believing servant, becomes ill, and in that state, condition of illness, 40 times is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. He recites this when he's ill. Then there are two positions. If during that sickness Allah says, I call him back, then 40 shaheed thawab he will attain. Not one shaheed, 40 shaheed thawab. Tell me. And if I give him shifa, cure, solve his sickness, the hair, Allah says, if I give him cure and he continues to live in the world, then I'll forgive all of his sins. All of his sins. Subhanallah. Now tell me, has this not become a ni'mah or not? Tell me, has it become a ni'mah or not? Isn't it? It's a ni'mah. So when illness comes, difficulties, distress, then what we should do upon that is understand this has come from Allah. Allah has given us elevation and He's preparing to give us higher ranks. So we should do those actions that we've been told in the state of sickness. If we do those actions, then this sickness also can become a reward for us in Jannah, paradise. So the conditions of a person's life, the state he goes through, illness, distress, worries for the mu'mineen, those who have iman, who have sense, and they improve themselves. For what reason are these difficulties and issues? Allah Ta'ala has made difficulties and issues for us so that we can rise up in the levels. Until that time, that person doesn't call out, complain, don't, astaghfirullah, criticize or complain to Allah, doesn't make noise unnecessarily, and he doesn't adopt the wrong path to solve his crisis or problems. Then he says, "Oh, I've got this problem, this sickness. If I take two gulps of this, you understand what I'm saying? Two gulps of what? Which liquid? You know, take two gulps of alcohol, and it'll give you the strength. The flu will go. There's a cure that people prescribe like this." He says, "You know, take two gulps, bro. Take this spoon and take a couple of spoonfuls of the liquid." Yeah? And you'll be fine. So shaitan opens the path. When a person has got distress and issues and problems, shaitan introduces that person to the doors of ill. And he says, don't worry, within a few seconds you'll be fine. I can drag him away from the deen and towards myself. There are two points here now. Subhanallah. The person who has iman, he's a mu'min, he's got bad times, difficult circumstances. There are two options Allah Ta'ala sets aside for him. Either you can earn high class jannah at that time, or you'll go into jahannam. If that person... according to those circumstances, he passes the time and experiences the actions according to Allah's preference. He doesn't adopt wrong things, unlawful things or haram to change his fortunes. Then alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala elevate that person, increase his status. So never should a person get upset or distressed. Continue to ask from Allah. Continue to ask from Allah. Never get afraid. Don't go towards the wrong path. Don't lie. Don't commit fraud. Tawakkal Allah and stick yourself to that path. that Allah Ta'ala has given me these circumstances to elevate my rank and He's given me difficulty, inshallah Allah will automatically open the door, whether it's today or tomorrow, after a year, up to 2 years. Allah knows how much rank and status He wants to give to us, to me. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Third point now. So the third issue is even more dangerous. So one, yeah, is leaving the actions of all that give us success. Secondly, problems, difficulties, children problems, house problems, illness problems, domestic issues. No complaint, no challenging, no complaining to Allah. Rather, adopt those measures, dhikr, salah, those actions that a person asks Allah for help and he practices the right actions. He says, Allah, I'm not going down the wrong path. Don't complain, don't challenge. And the third factor, which can elevate a person's status so high. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Sufis, listen, this action factor increases a person's rank and status so many times over. So difficulty. Which difficulty? You can have difficulty in the hand or the nose or the eyes or physical bodily difficulty or the back or water, drinking, no lack of water. What is it then, this factor that can give high status? What is the action? What is the factor? It's the difficulty, the pain of the heart, SubhanAllah. Because that thing that strikes a person's heart gives him pain and hurt, puts a wound on the heart and breaks the person's heart. This is also a difficulty. Remember one? Remember that when something strikes the heart of a person, crack, katak. For example, you have a very good friend, nice friend, you have high hopes for that person, you go and meet him. He says, oh, I don't know who you are. Be gone with you. When you get a pain on the heart, strike on the heart, where does this pain come? The crack on the heart. Yes. So whichever condition, circumstances, and events that strike on a person's heart, for example, somebody criticizes you, where will that criticism hurt? On your stomach, your hand? No. The criticism strikes the heart and it breaks the heart. If somebody deceives you, where will you feel that difficulty? On the heart. If somebody swears at you, where will you feel the difficulty? The pain on the heart. Somebody says bad about you, that you're bad, you're not good, or mocks you, criticizes you, puts you down. Where will you feel that pain? On the heart. This is called the broken heart. The broken heart. That all angles, from all angles, his heart is being wounded, affected, negatively. Your daughter swears at you, where will it strike you? On the heart. Why? Because this is that wound that it makes the heart tender and wounded, because he, the person, is attached to his own people. Yes, and there's so much pain due to the issues, the experiences that despite having everything, his health, food, house, comfort, everything outside, but he's tossing and turning in the bed because his mind's evolving in his mind that this person said this to me. I couldn't even imagine my wildest dreams. This person swore to me. This person criticized me. This person mocked me. That's what Allah Ta'ala said. They're mocking and jesting. Allah Ta'ala dislikes, extremely dislikes that person, especially the women folk who criticize others, laugh at others and mock others. So that person, when he gets a broken heart and it pierces his heart, the wrong action, then that's the broken heart. Allah says the broken heart, Allah Ta'ala values a broken heart so many times over. SubhanAllah. And always this can present itself, this scenario, to anybody at any time. Anyone could come and break our heart with some words or with an action. A person who has a heart, he can't tell anyone, he can't share with anyone, and his eyes become wet and his hands become numb when he listens to and goes back over those points. He doesn't even complain. He can't even say anything to him. He cannot express himself. He cannot express his heart, but his heart is knocking and knocking. So all the awliya Allah, the greatest awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, the higher the level of the awliya Allah, then their hearts were broken. Allah Ta'ala says that I am there with the broken heart. That where are their wounds, those people? Upon their hearts. That's where the wounds are. I'm telling you the reality, that when I sat in the majalis of the awliya Allah, then this was the end. The end, I saw that they had broken hearts right up to the end point. So due to the heart, Allah says, due to the broken heart, when a person has sabr and patience and he doesn't do the wrong actions, so what's the action? His heart breaks and many things emanate from the heart. Remember this. The most dangerous thing that emanates from a broken heart is the anger. Anger. Anger is there, inherent. When the heart breaks, the first result is the revenge feeling, anger feeling. A person who controls those feelings, who allows his heart to break, but he doesn't seek revenge, he doesn't angry with anybody. Alhamdulillah, then he is very high indeed, that individual. When in life, such an event passes by in front of you, that you get wounds on the heart, then remember, Allah Ta'ala selected us for a high class destination, high class Jannah, subhanAllah. Yes, so you don't get this from normal places. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his blessed life, pick it up, read it. Read it. And most of all, the pain that he was given wasn't due to his own people. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanAllah, his own people, they gave him pain. Those people who were called, he gathered and collected them and said, tell me, let me tell you a kalima. And those people from his tribe and his city we live, they opposed him, he couldn't imagine. And they opposed him severely. Severely. Those same people threw rubbish on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those same people did dhulam, oppression, injustice. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had high class ibadah, which was what? To nullify that abuse. And he had that, he taught us about the broken heart. So when we have the condition of the broken heart, do you understand what I'm saying or you don't understand what I'm saying? When these conditions come into our life, then consider high class challenge and test Allah Ta'ala has put us into, and Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate our status. And those people are lost from these factors and understandings, then most definitely Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to take him to that level, which is the highest level. That individual remains lost. Allah has made him stay in that situation. Allah says that person who doesn't adopt the means to get good, Allah Ta'ala says he stays negative. And those who don't get upset, distressed, despite the challenges, they don't do waste of time activities, they don't waste their life, they don't waste this stage of life. And with sabr and conviction without any complaint. Yani in other way, that nobody should know that he's got difficulties. Nobody should know he's got worries. Nobody should know he's got problems. Whether you're crying, yes, you shouldn't be shrieking or sobbing. If the night time tahajjud, then raise your hands and cry in front of your Rabb. And cry in sujood, prostration. Allah, look what's happening with me. That please Allah help me. Allah says, yes, cry in front of me. No problem, no issues. Cry as much as you want and shriek and sob. Why? Sob as much as you want. Because where else will you go, Allah says? Where else will you go? Yes, there's only one who used to go to in the dunya, your mother, and I am greater than your mother. Come to me, Allah Ta'ala says. Come to me. That I will embrace you in, subhanAllah, the lap of my mercy. And what do others do? They speak nonsense, rubbish. As I said, that when a person has a broken heart, then he says, he doesn't know that Allah Ta'ala has given him darajat, Allah Ta'ala wants to increase his rank. When his heart is broken, he's getting criticized from the left, from the right, from his own relatives. Criticism, joking, jesting, and he thinks that dhulam's happening with me, I'm being oppressed. No, no, foolish person. Pull yourself together. Understand Allah has selected you. Correct your status. If you want to cry, cry in front of Allah. Don't complain in front of anybody else. Annihilate your anger and get rid of the revenge feeling. And don't give baddua to people, a curse or a mystery statement. Don't be upset with a person. And your words and your stories, that telling people and forcing people to do things, no, finish whatever you want to do. Wake up in the night, stand at the Hajjah time and present yourself in the court of Allah. And with those du'as that Rasulullah SAW has taught us, the du'as in the when we're asking from Allah. So my brothers, these are the things Allah Ta'ala has given to us. This is a system that Allah Ta'ala has given to the mu'min. That every moment, every second, he can construct and manufacture his Jannah. Manufacture his Jannah. Construct. There are so many levels of Jannah. Such stations and levels that we can never imagine in our lives. Allah said in one statement that you cannot think it, you cannot see it, your eyes cannot see it, your minds cannot think it, your ears cannot hear it. To that extent, what I've prepared for you in Jannah. SubhanAllah. So these are the tariqas to attain. 3-4 things have we revised? Do you remember what we need to do? We have to start from the same points we go over. Revise. High class level we want in Akhirah. So when the heart breaks, you get criticism or mocking against you, then let it break as much as it wants to break. Allah Ta'ala resides in the broken heart. Allah's mercy. Allah's there. Allah Ta'ala loves most the broken heart. That the dunya breaks the heart due to its words. Look at this. Look at him. And lying, false statements, false criticism, etc. And when you tell a person about what that person is, they don't believe that he's this. They'll have no yaqeen about on his words, on his statements. And from all four sides he thinks, what's wrong with me? I was totally fine. Then consider, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given you this lesson and test that when a person is correct, he's going on a stage, he's correcting his salah, and he's trying to get to the highest status. Does tilawatul Quran, dhikr Allah, is sheikh, and everything. So when then he has problems on top of that, then he's afraid. No, consider Allah Ta'ala selected you, wants to elevate you, your rank, your status is going higher. So these are the things we need to be careful about. My friends, every moment, every second, every footstep, every breath, Allah Ta'ala wants to elevate us, heighten our rank. And difficulties will come, issues will come. And if we don't die, as long as we're alive and we haven't died, then we need to prepare for the time that when we transfer out of this world into the next world, into the hereafter, should have solid yaqeen, conviction, alhamdulillah. Allah will give high status to the mu'min. Allah has made it very easy. He's taken us out of shirk, out of kufr, out of non-deen lifestyle and lives. Allah Ta'ala has taken us out of the test that despite having iman, Allah has taken us out of the category those who have iman and they don't practice. Allah has taken us out of the category those who don't even speak highly, but they do dhikr. We have one stage that we want, that the heart, we need to control it. When it breaks, we need to understand. Don't complain. I've got this loss and that loss. He swore at me. He took my money. He did this to me. That. No. What is it we shouldn't allow to occur? Anger should not occur. Anger comes, then consider that you have taken defeat. Shaitan has won over you. He's dropped you. He's dropped your levels. That's it. The examples are there. So when we say, I'm angry, he said this to me, I'm angry. He said this, or this person said this, I'm angry. This anger, etc. is nothing. Shaitan has elevated your status. Allah Ta'ala wanted to elevate you. Allah Ta'ala gave you anger and that result has come about. Instead of, for example, if someone swears at you, you respond. If he backbites you, backbite him, you complain. Allah says, you'll get nothing. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين جميع المسلمين طه وياسين الحبيب المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد نبي أمه وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما ابدا كثيرا غزيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحزننا وجهلنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفور يا رب العالمين اللهم نسألك اللف والعافية والمعافاة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والآخرة اللهم اغفرنا في بدني اللهم اغفرنا في سمعي اللهم اغفرنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقت حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اقت بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشفى مرادنا
باكستان سے ہمارے ایک ساتھی نے اپنے بھائی کی صحت کے لیے دعا کے لیے آپ سے کہا ہے. کافی بیمار ہیں, کینسر ہے اور قومے میں ہیں. دعا فرمائے اللہ پاک ان کو صحت کامل عاجل نصیب فرمائے, اور جو بھی بیمار ہیں اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو شفا کامل عاجل نصیب فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشی والی اصحابی ازواجی ذریاتی اہل بیتی اجمعین برحمتی یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.